from Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That was Isaiah 54:17.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Testimony Tuesday, January 20th, 2026. If it seems like I'm a bit excited, you know how I love Testimony Tuesdays, where I have the opportunity, actually the privilege, to share somebody's faith journey, their life story, and some of their testimony on today's broadcast. And with very short notice, thank you, God, for it, how it all worked together. I know Sheila Cobb has been working on me to get in touch with you, and our special guest has a story to tell, and you can meet her in person this Thursday, so just a couple days away, at the Savoy United Methodist Church, 3002 West Old Church Road in Savoy. Actually, Pastor Jungil Ree, he's a part of the monthly gathering where pastors and ministry leaders come together at Vineyard Church. And so I've gotten to know him for a number of years, and he's passionate about the subject. And so with me on the phone lines from Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful Ohio is Mikaela Clay. And so she's going to be coming in and sharing some of her faith journey, life story, and be a part of a special gathering. So please be alerted that it's coming up this Thursday. And I want you to come out, because it's a time where we can come together, be blessed, and learn about the unborn, learn about different ways we can support our pregnancy resource centers. We can be pro-life in a wonderful way by loving on people and caring for them. And so what would you want our listeners to know, maybe on the front end, a little bit about your testimony or your life?
So on the front end of what my testimony is about, honestly, is perseverance and what it takes to really truthfully follow God's word. It's really easy for us to say that we want to or that we are doing this, but it's another thing to put it into action. So that's really something that I've worked very hard at myself, is God calling me out into the public and me wanting to sit back in the corner. But I just want to be faithful to what God wants. So that's what I'm striving to do the most right now.
And you weren't born in the conventional way. And in fact, off air, we talked about, I think you said, 36 different homes. We can't even fathom that before being adopted. But walk us through a little of that circumstance. And what was not the conventional way that you were born?
So I was born in an abortion clinic. So where most people, children do not survive, my birth mother went in to have what is called a vacuum aspiration. That is where they go in with the machine and what it says, they vacuum out the baby. They believe that my birth mother did not know how far along she was, because it was the late 70s. They didn't have ultrasounds back then, or, you know, number of reasons that it could have been. But instead of it leading to my death and an abortion, I was born at the abortion clinic that day. From that time, I was put from hospital to another hospital because I didn't have a name or a date of birth. I was labeled as a Jane Doe and then eventually a Sissy Doe. And my two-year-old brother was also left in the waiting room. So the two of us were placed into foster care, and that began the journey of the 36 different homes that we were in because we were unadoptable. And something for everybody also to know is I was adopted in Illinois. So this is going to be a kind of full circle ride for me, maybe even perhaps overwhelming at times, because I'm coming back to where it all started. And 36 homes, you know, think of the I love you mommies and the I love you daddies and all the things that you go through just on a regular, normal basis, let alone a child being uprooted that many times between newborn and six. It was definitely a lot.
When you told me 36, I couldn't even fathom two or three would be traumatic, because you would get maybe the sense of belonging or loved on, and then for whatever reason or circumstance, you get yanked out of there. But after the fourth and 10th and 20th and 30th time, not only are you maybe jaded, but somewhat hopeless or feeling neglected and marginalized, all the worst things you could think about. So how did you survive all the changes? Why did it take 36 different homes?
I was told that the biggest reason was that the state didn't take over children at the time. So the state didn't have the ability to sign for us to be adopted and to have there not be an issue come up later. You know, when somebody goes through an adoption, they want to make sure this child's going to be mine forever. Mm-hmm. If there's a question of whether or not birth parents are going to come back into the picture and take the children away, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't want to follow through with that, which is completely understandable. So we didn't have anybody to sign over our rights at the time. It just so happened that somewhere in the vicinity of 4 or 5 years of either, I think my brother's age, not mine, my birth mother did go looking for him. And in doing so, she was able to sign over her rights for us to be adopted. And then that's also when she found out that I had survived the abortion. When they asked her about her daughter, she was shocked. She didn't have a daughter to her knowledge. And in a situation where I believe they could have used grace, I don't believe that they did. Mm. She did sign the paperwork, but she excused herself to go to the bathroom and never came back. So there was no availability for me to learn the rest of the information that I wanted to learn, like the day that I was born. Mm. So that's always going to be a question mark for me. It's one of the things that I tell people not to take for granted is your birthday. It actually hurts my heart when I hear people say, oh, it's just a birthday. It's no big deal. Or I hate my birthday. Mm. It really, truly hurts my heart to hear those words.
And how would you say that that formed who you are today, that experience and that longing to be grounded and loved on and adopted into a family?
A lot of people think that in my situation that I should be hateful and angry and an unloving human being. But what it did was the complete opposite. I learned very fast that I didn't like how I felt when somebody didn't love me. I didn't like how I felt to be uncared for, to be pushed around, to be abused and everything that we went through. And so I had vowed at a very, very young age. I wish I could tell you the exact age, but I'm going to say it was around 3 or 4. I remember sitting on a leather ottoman in this foster home saying, I will never, ever let anybody I ever meet feel the way that I feel right now. Mm. Everybody that comes in contact with me will know that they are loved. And I have truly lived every day from that day wanting to prove that to everybody.
I know something else that we briefly talked about was the importance of forgiveness and how you've experienced that and how you extend that to others. But share a little about your experience with forgiveness.
One of the biggest things that I really wanted to tell my birth mother was that I forgave her. Mm. It was something very important to me, even before I knew that I was an abortion survivor. Just the adoption process and everything that I'd gone through, it was in my heart to sit down and say, you know, I forgive you. I needed it. I wanted it. And, you know, sometimes God's answer is no. So back in 2020, I did find my birth mother. Mm. But unfortunately, she had just passed away. Mm. And so God's answer being no, at the same time, it was a bigger yes for everyone else, because I get to stand on stages in front of women who have made the choice of abortion, who've made the choice of adoption, who are feeling just sorrowful from it and regretful. And I can say, you're forgiven. And I can tell you that because I'm your baby.
Mm. And by way of on Testimony Tuesday, sharing some of your own faith journey, was it hard to come into that personal relationship with God with maybe the vacuum of not being grounded in a family early on and being kind of moved around and, you know, 36 homes, you might feel like God abandoned me or he wasn't there for me. How did you connect with him, or who helped you understand that Jesus and God love you?
I tell people all the time, I don't have a true come to Jesus moment that I can remember really, really having other than when I was first adopted and we went to church for the very first time. I sat in that pew with my mother and I just started sobbing, and she thought, oh my goodness, it's too soon. I knew we shouldn't have come here. And she asked me why I'm crying, and I tell her, I'm happy. And she was like, okay, because she wasn't expecting that answer, right?
Right.
But I was just so overwhelmed and overjoyed. And I said, that man, not what he looks like, but I know him. He was with me in foster care. He's who protected me. I know that man. Mm. And so then I got to learn who Jesus was and who God was. And I know definitively that the reason that I survived those 36 homes, the reason that my brother survived and I survived that abortion, is because God was right there the entire time.
Mm. And I'm sure this Thursday, when you speak at the Savoy United Methodist Church, you know, that'll be part of your exhortation for all of us to realize anew that God does love us. He does care. Yes, there's sin in the world. Yes, there's hardship and agony, and things don't always work out right on this side of heaven. But God does extend his love and proved it through sending the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
So some of your sharing this Thursday is going to be some of your testimony time. Will there also be a message of hope for those that have had an abortion or for those that are contemplating abortion or maybe for some that might consider adoption? What will be some of your other message?
I'm sure that you have a listener out there right now that really needs to hear this. And the message is very, very simple. I tell people to stop dividing your lines. If you're pro-life or you're pro-choice, stop dividing the line. I tell people all the time, I'm not pro-life and I'm not pro-choice. I'm pro-support, pro-community, and pro-love. When you are those three things, nothing else matters. You're preaching to everyone. You're out on the streets loving everyone. If there's a woman out there who's had an abortion, I don't want her to think that she can't come to me because I'm pro-life. Come to me. Let me pray on you. Let me love on you. You're the one who needs it the most right now. If you're contemplating on whether or not you're going to have an abortion, come to me. Let me love on you. Let me show you the resources that are in your area that I can help you get to, because God does still love you. Even through the circumstances that you think could be completely unlovable, it's just not true. I thought for the longest time through 36 homes that I was just unlovable, that there was just no way somebody could possibly care for me. And I'm here to tell you that that is not true. There is a God that loves you so, so much that he sent his only child. And when you look at adoption, you've got to wonder, a lot of people don't realize one of the very most prolific names in history was basically adopted. And that would be Jesus himself. Joseph adopted him, took him in as his own, and said, I'm going to be your other father. And he raised him like his own son. That is an adoption. And that type of love only comes from something that surpasses all understanding, and that is God.
I know one of the comments you made to me is that love is the key that unlocks everything. And so part of your intention is just to love on the audience, love on those that'll come out this Thursday night to the Savoy United Methodist Church. It's a combination of testimony time, and there'll be lighting of candles and some music and some prayer and some sharing. It's an ecumenical prayer vigil that will unite the many churches and people together from all walks of life. And so, listening friend, I hope you can make it out to the Savoy United Methodist Church this Thursday. The address is 3002 West Old Church Road in Savoy. Really easy to get to, lots of great parking. And if you need more information, you can call our friend Shirley Cobe at 217-762-2953. 217-762-2953. Leave a message if she can't answer it, and she'll get back to you. But I highly recommend you coming out and joining me and others to see what God will do as he reveals his truth through Mikaela's story and testimony time and her sharing. She'll love on you. She'll encourage you. I'm going to just say you're going to be hugging some people, right? You're going to encourage and bless them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not just Hispanic, but, you know, I am a God-loving woman, so I don't mind giving those hugs, especially when people need it. And I'm really excited to be in Illinois, kind of where it all started, and a little bit of apprehension there, too, because it's been a long time.
Well, we opened up the program with one of your favorite verses, Isaiah 54:17. Now, my NIV rendering is, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. So talk a little about this verse and why it's so special.
In itself, you know, the weaponry of abortion, the weaponry of the foster care system, and everything that I've been through medically in my life, I have come out on top. Everything that was meant to break me down, tear me apart, and take me away from God has just brought me closer. So that's why that Bible verse just means the world to me. It's something that I've lived by for as long as I can honestly remember. The very first time that I heard that Bible verse, I had it etched in my notebook at school because I was like, that's me right there. Nothing formed against me shall prosper.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to feel in your life. There's going to be situations that arise that you feel like are going to be the end of the world. They're not. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You've just got to stay strong a little bit longer. God's got you.
Yeah, it brings to mind like two different verses. That one, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So as you have asked Jesus Christ into your life, you can be victorious over the darkness in the world. Doesn't mean that things can't go wrong or there can't be tragedies, but ultimately you're secure in Christ and you can defeat the devil and the darkness that surrounds you. And then I thought about that, putting on the full armor of God so that you can stand firm that day in his strength, not in our own strength or our abilities or our gift sets, but in his strength, in his love, we can overcome. Well, something else that I know, you like to cook, you like to bake, you like singing, but one thing you tend to always do before you enter a room or a building, you basically pray up to God, God, let them see you before they see me. Talk a little about that.
I have said that, I'm going to be honest with you, probably since I was 9 or 10 years old, I started saying that. It was just God speaking to me, honestly, probably at the time. I was so young, I can't really put into words why, but anytime that I go into a room, anytime that I go into a building, especially a new area, it's so important for me to illuminate that light of God that we all have in us. Even when you think that you aren't clean enough, aren't good enough, aren't Christian enough, you have a light that God gave you. And so before I walk into any room, before I go into any building, it's important for me to say, God, let them see you before they see me. Let them see your light before I even enter that room, because that light can be overwhelming, and that feeling of warm love is what we need sometimes. It's like a big hug from Papa, you know, and I love it. And that's what I want for everybody else.
I want to come back to that story you were telling in case it maybe just went over a listener's mind or they were distracted or didn't hear it clearly. But that time you were sitting in church and you pointed up to that picture of Jesus, which is a representation of an artist trying to do a rendering of what Jesus might have looked like. But you had that sense at 6 years old that that person in that picture, that representation of Jesus, that representation of God, was there for you. Talk a little more about that, because there might be somebody that can't fathom that there's a God that really, in fact, loves them and demonstrated that love.
You know, it's hard to imagine and hard to believe going through all these places when you're alone and what God can physically look like, or that feeling that you feel that, you know, like maybe I shouldn't do this. I've always been told it's also the voice of God. But at very, very young age, I remember there was a man, one of the moments we won't get completely into, but it was an abusive situation. And I remember this man sitting next to me and just wrapping his arms around me and saying, just a little bit longer. And he whispered it, but in this sound that was like, I don't know how to explain it, but like a bunch of songs, but simple and sweet and pure. And I didn't feel that fear that I had at that exact moment anymore. It just kind of melted away. And I had a lot of those little moments in foster care where I can feel that this man was with me. So when I saw that picture in that painting at 6 years old, I knew that was the same man. I don't know how I knew. I'm sure it was God's way of speaking to me to let me know, but I knew that's not what he looked like. I remember what he looked like. I can still close my eyes today and see the man that was sitting next to me, and I know that it was him, and I know that he was with me and he was protecting us that whole time.
And listening, friend, there is a Savior. His name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He desires to do a redemptive work in all of us. We're all sinners. We're all flawed. None of us can earn our way into heaven. We don't get there because we're better than others, or because we go to church on Sunday, or we tithe, or help out at the soup kitchen. We go because what he did on the cross for us. He redeemed us. He paid the penalty for our sins. None of us can earn our way into heaven. It's only by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you're going to hear about that Lord and Savior this Thursday night at the Savoy United Methodist Church, 3002 West Old Church Road in Savoy. And I hope you'll come out, and all the details and specifics, if you have questions, like it's wheelchair accessible, or maybe you have some other unique questions on how to get there. Maybe you're going to drive in from Danville or Bloomington or Decatur, but the Champaign-Urbana area, I expect a bunch of you to show up and join me. You can call Sheila Kobe at 217-762-2953, 217-762-2953. Now, Mikaela, how about closing our time in prayer? As the Lord leads you, pray for those that are maybe hurting, far from God, to the senior saint that's just rejoicing in another day that they get to spend here on earth.
Absolutely. Lord, we all come to you and we bow our heads and pray. Unless you're listening to this in the car, then Lord, we're going to keep our heads up and just keep on praying. Lord, we just want everybody to feel that uplifting heart of yours. Lord, meet us where we're at, where we're struggling, where we're hurting, where we're joyful, where we're praising your name, where we're crying. Lord, just wrap your arms around that person and show them the love that I know that you have for all of your children, Lord. Keep helping us to say the right things and to do the right things at the right time for them, Lord. Help them to understand that every single child of yours has a purpose. You are so loved, and God wants you to know that. We want you to know that. Lord, just keep shining that light through us. Keep shining that light for them, and praise you in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, listening friend, I hope you're going to come out this Thursday night to the Savoy United Methodist Church, 3002 West Old Church Road in Savoy. If you need more information, you can talk with Sheila at 217-762-2953. I hope to be there. In fact, I only live about 5 minutes from there, so it's not a distance.
Well, then you don't have an excuse.
Right.
I will see you Thursday.
Yeah, right. Good for you. All right, take care.
It sounds perfect.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Mark.
All right, take care. We'll see you Thursday.
All right, see you Thursday.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, listening friend, a blessing awaits you this Thursday night at the Savoy United Methodist Church. I hope you'll join me for this special prayer and gathering. It's a pro-life vigil with worship and prayer, speakers, testimony, and I think a candlelight vigil, so I hope you can make it out. For more information, call 217-762-2953. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.